The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Happy Monday, everyone. Welcome to the Bill Buckmaster Show here on 1030 AM KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. Kind of a soggy day here in Tucson, Monday, December 9th, broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. This is Ben Bueller Garcia, normally heard Saturdays here on American Warrior Radio, sitting in for Bill Buckmaster. You know, Bill's 9th anniversary is coming up January 3rd, but even a pro like Bill sometimes has to give his voice a rest for a while. Best wishes to Bill that his vocal cords will recover quickly. This Monday political face-off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com, and of course, you can find them on Facebook. Joining us for today's Monday political face-off are Allison Jones, chair of the Pima County Democrat Party, and Pima County Republican Party Chair David Eppenheimer. Forgive me. Welcome to both of you.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Thank you.
I can tell you're excited to be here.
Oh, no. We're cold and wet. We yeah. agree on that.
I tell you, as a desert rat, yes, it's cold and wet, but I am thankful for every day we get rain here in the desert. Let's start off. There's not really much happening at the national level. You know, nobody's talking about anything. So let's start at the local level. Allison, Democrats had a sweep of the Tucson City Council races this last election. I don't recall the last time there was a change in three seats. So we've got Tucson's first Latina mayor, Regina Romero, Lane Santa Cruz in Ward 1, Nikki Lee in Tucson's East Side Ward. Do you recall the last time there's been such a big shift? And what do you, I mean, do you see the dynamic down there changing at all or not really?
I think it's a little early to tell. Nikki and Lane are getting their feet under them. Lane has been working in the Ward 1 office for a while. I have a feeling she will be up and running a little bit faster than Nikki, but Nikki has a lot of support. And so it's really hard to tell yet. They had their first meeting last Tuesday, as I recall. And we're very supportive and of both of them and excited about the future.
You know, I find both in politics and business, you know, very often change can be a good thing. It's a dynamic time. It's a time of opportunity. So all of us are holding out a lot of hope. The election was in November. It's early December. I think people not normally involved in politics will think, well, there's kind of a letdown. You take a break. But now you've got three seats coming open again in 2 years, wards 3, 5, and 6. What do you see coming? Is the Democrat Party already gearing up full bore for those races, or are you guys going to take a month off?
Well, we have...
Are you allowed to take a month off? I don't know.
No, we're not. And I think David would agree with that. But... we have other races in 2020 to think about before we look at the city council races in 2022.
Un poquito, something. We'll talk about that after the break coming up. What would you like to see, Allison, for this new administration? Like I say, I think it's an interesting time in Tucson where we have a lot of opportunities. There's a lot of change going on both locally and nationally. But have you had a chance to, I assume, to talk with all the two new council members and the mayor and say, okay, here's kind of what we'd like to see or we would suggest?
Well, yes. The major thing I have expressed interest in is engaging more with the Hispanic community and getting them involved in our party. That we have not done a good job of reaching out to that community, and it's on us to make it worth their while to be involved. So I'm going to be trying to engage with those folks and see what value we can offer to them, and likewise see if they want to become involved and help us elect Democrats.
You know, as a Hispanic in Tucson, I find it interesting to hear you say that. I mean, we elected our first Latina mayor, Lane Santa Cruz,
obviously a Latin woman, but intriguing to hear you say that. I would have just thought you had it all locked up, but you can never rest on your laurels, can you?
No, and keep in mind that 40% of our county population is Hispanic, and in our party, which just means the party structure, only about 7 or 8% are Hispanic. A large number of our electeds are Hispanic, which is good, but we are not seeing them in our party, and we think we need that diversity to be stronger.
Sure, sure. Interesting. Very enlightening. David, some changes on the Republican side as well, but not in the same way. Pima County Board of Supervisors, Allie Miller announced that she is not going to be running for reelection in this next race. It sort of struck me. I'm not obviously as inside as you are, but it came to me sort of as a surprise. Did this sort of...
Yes, it very much surprised me. I talked to Allie a lot, and I've talked to Allie a lot since she announced that she wasn't running again. It very much was a surprise. She kept it very much under wraps to everybody but her closest people. I take her at face value that what she said was that she's done that for 8 years, and it takes a big toll, and we all know how tough it is on the Board of Supervisors with a 3-2 minority. So she's going to take a little break and kind of reassess and figure out where she's going to go from there. But it was a surprise, yes.
I tell you, one of the things that always struck me is when you look at, and maybe it's not as bad at the Board of Supervisors, maybe it is, but when you look at our presidents and you see the their photos when they first take office, and then I tell you, President Obama was one of the, to me, a very young guy, but I mean, you just look at his hair and just the weight it puts on you.
She's had 7 tough years and looking towards another add-on, 2020 to finish out her term, and it's been a battle, an uphill battle on every issue, and when you're, it's just like the city council and for Republicans, we don't have representation, and on the Board of Supervisors we're the minority and have been for quite some time, and it's a tough battle.
Now, so I assume either way you would like to keep that seat. Her District 1 is principally Northwest Side, Marana, Oro Valley, up in that area. There's already 2 Democrats who I believe have filed paper. 3 now?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if the third one's filed paperwork.
Okay, yet, but we're going to have, you're confident, Allison, there'll be 3 folks running on the Democrat side.
Yes.
Probably, okay. David, are you hearing any whispers of some folks jumped up?
Oh, sure, sure. We'll have 2 for sure. One's already filed. Pena from Oro Valley has filed. She's on the city council, I believe, in Oro Valley. And then there'll be another prominent Republican who will file. And we'll hold that seat. That's not an issue. We'll hold that seat strongly and keep it. And we're looking at flipping another and getting the majority back that we had back in the 90s.
So, now, you express confidence there principally because of the voter registration. If folks aren't aware, the Pima County Supervisors race are a little bit different in that the election is conducted just in the district,
right,
not citywide like the Tucson City Council races. So your confidence is based
on voter reg in that district. It's essentially, it's always been a Republican district, and it will continue to be so. We're very confident of that, and especially with our candidates that are likely to run and will run.
Yeah, we've got just a couple of minutes before the break, and one thing I've always been curious about, having run for office a million years ago, I think the Pony Express delivered the ballots back when I was a candidate. But to what extent, I think the general population out there maybe has a misconception about the role of the organized party in recruiting and training candidates. In my case, no one from the party approached me. It's just something I decided I wanted to do. I'd like to get both of your perspectives on that. Is there a...
Sure, I'll start out. Our party, the Republican Party, is essentially as you just described. We do not a whole lot of recruiting of candidates. Candidates self-elect, self-proclaim, self-announce, but I am doing some recruiting for some of the county offices, a couple of them that people haven't
quite stepped up yet for the 2020. Some of the county offices that are going to that have retirement in them, the current office holders are retiring, to make sure that we have candidates for those offices. So we do some recruiting, but generally it's people stepping up. Certainly in CD2, you see six Republican candidates, and virtually every one of them stood up on his or her own.
Allison, same philosophy or not necessarily?
It's very similar because, you know, running for office is a really grueling experience. It has to be something someone wants to do. So you're just not going to recruit somebody who never thought about running for office and getting them to take on this endeavor. It's really grueling. But on the other hand, we do intend to contest every race. And so we do find ourselves looking for some candidates. Particularly, I think I have a couple of Justice of the Peace offices I'd like to find people to run for, a couple of constable races. Otherwise, I think we're pretty much have Democrats running for everything.
Okay. Well,
and in Pima.
I tell you, based on my experience, I would describe it as kind of a, it's like jury duty. I think everybody should do it once in a while just to get a sense, but it's kind of like a 12-month long root canal.
Well, yeah, as I've said, it takes the fire in the belly to do it. I mean, it's as Allison said, it's so grueling and so all-encompassing of your life to run for office. And then, of course, the big payback is that now you're in office and it's worse. it's really tough. And a lot of Republicans look at voter reg in the city especially and see the 2-1 and they just don't want to put themselves through something that they're likely not to win. So,
ladies and gentlemen, the Monday Political Face-Off is brought to you by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Visit Moe's at their Fort Lowell Dodge location for all your fine framing and mirror needs. You know, the holidays are a lot about family and friends and food. Don't forget to make Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, part of your holiday plans. Mona's is located on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise and can provide your family with fresh baked pies, breads, and of course their famous Danish Kringles. Mona's is open for lunch right now, or why not stop by tomorrow morning for a made-to-order breakfast. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, making your life sweeter one bite at a time. Go to monasdanishbakery.com or visit thebuckmastershow.com for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. You're listening to the Bill Buckmaster Show here on 1030 The Voice, KVOI. We come back on our Monday Political Face-Off. We'll be talking, what else? Impeachment. Stick around.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Take 5 minutes to give us your input on regional transportation matters. The Regional Transportation Authority's 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee prepared draft guiding principles to consider as they prepare to develop the next RTA plan. The survey is available between mid-November and mid-December. To take the survey or to sign up to receive RTA notices, please visit www.rtamobility.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Ever dream of taking a river cruise? Bon Voyage Travel introduces you to Ama Waterways. You'll explore authentic culture in captivating landscapes in luxury and comfort. All on board an award-winning fleet while you travel through incredible cities and villages in Europe, Southeast Asia, and Africa. Picture yourself on the river, indulging in Ama Waterways' locally inspired cuisine paired with complimentary wine with every lunch and dinner. Contact Bon Voyage Travel today to customize your river cruise vacation.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the Buckmaster Show here in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. This is Ben Buehler-Garcia sitting in for Bill Buckmaster. Joining us in studio today for the Monday Political Face-Off, we have Allison Jones, who is the chair of the Pima County Democrat Party, and David Eppenheimer, I got it right this time, David, chair of the Pima County Republican Party. Before we took a break in the last segment, we were still talking local politics, and I do want to touch on what's happening at the national level because that's just so huge. But one of the questions, David, was, you know, as far as priorities and programs going forward, and you just wanted to share your opinion.
We were talking off air about that during the break. And what I'd like to share is what I think is bad policy that we have our new mayor coming in who, in her first interview on election night, watched it live on television, proclaimed that her number one priority as the mayor of Tucson is climate change. And if that wasn't so sad and dangerous, it would be laughable to think that in a medium-sized city in the Southwest, that the number one priority is worldwide climate change. You talk about somebody having their eye off the ball. We're 600 police officers short in the city. The streets are awful. The parks aren't safe to be in. Communities aren't safe to be in because of robbery. The stores closed down at Alvernon and Grant because of the thievery that they can't stay open. That's what closed Safeway and Circle K. And our new mayor talks about climate change as their number one priority. It's just awful. And then we got Nikki Lee as our new councilwoman for Ward 4. And once again, Ward 4, the Democrat loses the ward. Shirley Scott never won her ward. And now we've got Nikki Lee following in the same footsteps, and yet she has a seat on the city council due to the rigged political atmosphere and the election laws in Tucson. So it's more of the same.
And that's really, you know, ward only elections is a completely different topic. I don't know if you have time to get on that. Right. Allison, you're, I mean, at the end of the day, it takes four votes, right?
Yeah. But I want to just say something about climate change, and it is, at the local level, is really the way climate change must be addressed. You can map income and crime in Tucson from space by looking at the amount of green cover. There is definitely a link between the amount of green and climate change plantings that can help address climate change, and crime, health, and poverty. And so every city should be looking at what they can do for climate change. And I believe our mayor is on the right track.
Well, my personal opinion here, I just think, you know, rising tide raises all boats. To me, the main issue for Tucson is the poverty. I mean, we've got so many opportunities in our community here. Let's thank you for your opions here. That's what
thank
the face
you for
off
letting
is
me
about.
Have a shot at that.
National level, there's this thing going on.
called impeachment. The, if I'm not mistaken, the House Judiciary vote on the articles themselves is coming. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that that's going to happen. Maybe as soon as this week, but definitely before Christmas. What do you think the chances are of something actually happening in the Senate, though?
Oh, zero. This is all just a circus with a known outcome. It probably will go out of the House as articles of impeachment, and then it'll be dead on arrival in the Senate. And quite frankly, we're all looking forward to that Senate trial, because there are going to be a lot of subpoenas on the main characters from the House. Pelosi's going to get subpoenaed. Schiff is going to get subpoenaed. The Bidens, both of them, are going to get subpoenaed. And the rubber's going to hit the road, and it's going to be a real turkey shoot.
So you see impeachment really as an opportunity for the Republicans?
Absolutely. Okay. We're licking our chops.
Okay, Allison, Speaker Pelosi has got one of the most unenviable jobs, I think, in the world right now. She's herding cats. She's trying to keep her votes in line to get this thing out of the House. But once that happens, what is your take on that? If the Senate votes to impeach President Trump, game over. I mean, we're talking, we hit the reset button, but it seems unlikely that's going to happen. So, Allison, what is your take on the Democrat side of the coin? Gets out of the House, fails in the Senate. What are we looking at then between now and the next presidential election as far as advantages, disadvantages on the Democrat side?
Well, first of all, I don't think Speaker Pelosi should really consider what's going to happen in the Senate. She mm-hmm. has a constitutional duty, if there has been a crime committed, to follow up and investigate that crime. And the words, "let me ask you for a favor, though," which Trump has admitted to saying, really says it all. He was using his power and influence as president to ask for a political favor from a foreign power. That's wrong. We all know that's wrong. Republicans know it's wrong. Whether they will vote him out in the Senate or not, that is not Nancy Pelosi's sure. job to decide. She has a constitutional duty to follow this wherever it leads.
Even the constitutional experts that were called in the House to testify disagreed on whether this was a crime or not. And I think that's critical. You just don't make something, you don't make a crime up. You don't make up something that you think is wrong, but by your own definition, and say, okay, we're going to establish that as the baseline. That's a crime.
So let me just say, I think forecasting, looking into the political looking glass, is sort kind of like forecasting the weather in Tucson. You never be 100% accurate, but let's base it on the assumption that that's what happens, is it fails in the Senate. Allison, do you see, I mean, I'm sure fundraising emails are already going out on both sides of the equation anticipating that outcome. Are we going to see anything get done between now and 2020 as far as other legislation, or is this just going to completely occupy everybody's time and energy?
I don't think it's going to go on that long. I hope it's in the Senate in a few weeks and decided a few weeks after that. It's not going to take up all of 2020.
I would agree. It's not going to take up all of 2020. You know, I'm kind of torn between two scenarios that I'd like to see happen. One is that McConnell gavels the Senate to order and calls a vote.
Right off the bat.
Okay. That's one scenario that I would like to see happen. The other is a really protracted trial and just air every bit of dirty laundry that's out there. And then it'll fail. They're not going to get two-thirds. It's not going to happen.
A little bit of historical perspective from both of you. We only got a couple of minutes left before the break. But I think this impeachment is the first in the truly modern history. I mean, you know, Nixon, we had, what, three, maybe four TV news. Even during the Clinton era, we didn't have social media. But during this impeachment, it's like the folks voting are getting feedback in real time between Twitter and social media and instant polling. To what extent, and let's start with you, Allison, to what extent do you think that's going to have an impact on this? Or are you confident that folks can just stick to the facts and do their job?
I think social media has been very, very harmful to getting out the real facts, because too many Americans are not, they're not savvy enough to figure out when they're being lied to and when facts are being spun. So you can go on Facebook and Twitter and find any post you want to support what you already believe. That's a problem that is way beyond the scope of this conversation, but I see it as a real threat to our entire nation.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Allison, on that. That you can find any opinion you want, and you can't make your decisions based upon the Twitter feedback. And I agree with that. And I on the Republican side of the question you asked, I think that there's some small percentage of chance that it will get defeated in the House. And I think that driving that could be the realization among the 100 and some Democrat representatives that are serving in districts that were carried by Trump. Could be a factor, because they all lose their jobs after they vote for the impeachment.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, mark this date on your calendar. The Pima County Democrat and Republican Party agree on one thing.
Facebook and Twitter are bad.
This is Ben Buehler-Garcia sitting in for Bill Buckmaster. You've been listening to the Monday Political Face-Off brought to you by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. When we come back, we'll be talking to the Buckmaster contributor on Mexico, Keith Rosenblum, about the impact of the holidays on our neighbors from Mexico.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Welcome back to the Bill Buckmaster Show here on 1030 AM, The Voice, broadcasting from the Green Thing Socolo Village Studios. This is Ben Bueller Garcia sitting in for Bill Buckmaster, producer John Couch on the other side of the glass. If you'd like to get involved, give us a call, 790-2040. You know, since 1970, Green Things has been the go-to place for your gardening needs. Now, they're on their 13-acre site, also home to the Socolo Village and all those fine Mexican and Latin American imports. Green Things on River Road, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. The holidays are poinsettia season. Why not stop by Green Things and pick up one of their thousands of beautiful holiday poinsettias? Learn more about their wonderful gardening selections at greenthingsaz.com. Speaking of the holidays and the Socolo Village, great place to buy things, it's time for Tucson's huge influx from Mexico, let's hope. Joining us on the phone, Keith Rosenblum. He's a former Mexico correspondent for both the Arizona Republic and the Arizona Daily Star. Keith is the Bill Buckmaster Show Mexico contributor. Keith, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show.
Hi, Ben. Thank you.
Keith, we all know, I mean, unless you've been in a cave somewhere, we know the huge impact of the spending that our Mexican neighbors have here on our local economy, particularly around the time of the holidays. What, to give us a sense, Keith, what are those numbers? I mean, huge doesn't quite cut it. What are the actual numbers?
Probably $1 in $5.
So one in five total dollars spent in Tucson?
Spent from somebody from state of Sonora is, I want to say, maybe a little bit more than 4 million people. State of Sinaloa, probably double that. Chihuahua State, probably the same size. And we get fractions of those coming to Tucson. We're not really good at identifying. The U of A has done a couple of surveys. They've done exit interviews of people, what you buy, what you do. But what's lost in those figures also is who they're doing it with, because a lot of times you have families that come up, so their plates will say Chihuahua, Sonora, Sinaloa, Durango, whatever, at Elkhorn or Foothills Mall or Park Place. But they're a lot of times doing it with family members who are here who will have Arizona plates and who will say, hey, let's go over to this or that place. So you have things that are done in tandem with family members as well. You also have lots of people who have postal boxes or go to the FedExes or the UPS stores, and they'll pick up deliveries or will receive something at the home of a relative here. So those are impossible to track anyway. But the numbers are vast. And whereas Tucson used to have two daily flights a day to the interior of Mexico, used to have the Aeromexico flights to Guaymas, La Paz, Mexico City, and then also it has Hermosillo, Obregón, Mochis, Culiacán, Guadalajara, Mexico City. It doesn't any longer, but you still have private flights, and you still have 20 Tufesa buses a day going north, 20 coming south, and those buses are at the briefest, they're going to Hermosillo, and most of them go on to the interior. So you have all sorts of people. Anyway, I can tell you about waiting at the port of entry this morning at 1 a.m. because me and my family were in Imuris and Nogales yesterday, and we had generally returning on a Sunday night, holding steady for seasons and other circumstances. Generally, it'd be like an hour and a half wait, sometimes two. But last night was 3 hours and 18 minutes, and come through, had a very lovely conversation with CBP Officer Mortensen, who has welcomed me and my family to the country many times now. I'm not sure he would say it that way, that he's doing his job. But boy, you better have a full gas tank, and you better have things to keep yourselves for either awake or from becoming embroiled in an argument while you're in that line.
And Keith, that's an important safety tip. There's nothing worse than looking at that gate a long ways away and then looking down at your fuel tank and saying, oops, I'm not going to make it. What do you think, Heath, is that just because of the holiday?
No, not at all. This is the unusual circumstances of having Central Americans that are rushing the border to come in. If you're from Central America, you're Guatemalan or you're Nicaraguan or you're Honduran, and you want to apply for refugee status or you want to get to the U.S., if you're in Mexico, then you have one set of interview protocols to come to the U.S. If you're in the U.S., you have a separate set of protocols, which are a lot easier. So what's happened is, because of that, just think in terms of a quarterback sneak. You want to do everything you can to jump into the end zone, which is the United States, the territory of the United States, and we're doing everything we can to keep people out. So the normal eight lanes that would be open last night were down to five, two sentry lanes, I believe. Those are the fast lanes where you have ID and you always use the same car, like friendly traveler things. And then I believe there were three other lanes that were open. And so we've fortified it to make it almost impossible for someone to leap over. I mean, I guess if you have a trampoline or some other way to do it, you might be able to pull it off. But it's a function of U.S. policy, which is different for those waiting abroad and those waiting in the U.S.
So really, the influx of the holiday shoppers coming up from Sonora, Sinaloa, those folks driving, that just complicates an already choked.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. That is a total nightmare scenario. If I was a business person, if I was the Chamber of Commerce or the MTCVB or anybody, I would have a direct line to the port director in Nogales, and I would be doing everything I could, because there is no greater dissuader of coming to Tucson than building in a 3-hour, and actually 3 hours, I'm told from friends, was actually pretty quick. That the day before it had been five, and I can't verify, but I'd read in either Nuevo Dia or Diario de Sonora, the two papers in Nogales, Mexico, thinking about coming to the U.S. I was like, no, thanks, but no thanks. You know, the pedestrian lines are also nasty, but they're not nearly as bad. The pedestrian lines are pretty much steady. I think last night they were an hour during the day.
Keith, we've got a caller. Before I take their call, though, I'm curious about going back the other direction. You know, it used to be in the olden days, you know, some of us would go down to Nogales or Obregón and do some of our holiday shopping and come back. Last time I was in Nogales, it just broke my heart. I mean, it seemed like half the shops are all boarded up and closed down. You're not seeing much flow going south.
No, there's no market. I'm not even sure that's a bad sign, because Mexico has moved beyond the curios and handicraft and, you know, the Mexico that we recall, but that's because, guess what? These are now a lot of the same people who were working in those stores before are now operating factories or now have their, you know, master's degrees in engineering and are working in factories. So that, you know, that might be a nice nostalgic note, but it doesn't, there's not a lot of interest, and so many things are made in China today. So a combination of factors has made those shops obsolete, put it that way. What they've been replaced by is dental and medical and other types of services.
Sure. Keith, Greg gave us a call here at the Buckmaster Show at 790-2040. Greg, you've had some good experiences in Mexico. You encourage people to continue to keep that relationship up.
You got it. You nailed it. I don't even have to talk now, Ben. Thank you. First off, you did an interview with this gentleman, just to get off subject briefly. The guy that helped catch the most notorious leader of the Coca cartel. What's his name?
Are you talking about Pablo Escobar?
Yeah. What a great interview, man. I had to park and listen, and I think I ran out of gas, but I wanted to listen to your interview. And as far as Mexico goes, I encourage people to visit Mexico. Chris DeSimone there used to take folks down on trips, and I think, you know, he did a lot to encourage cross-border visits. And the sad part is certainly there was a tragic event with the family, the mom and the children killed, and but it's in the news constantly, and people say, well, Mexico, you got the bandits, and no, my experiences when I've been there for weeks at a time have been excellent.
Greg,
and I say to people, go to Mexico, don't go to Hawaii, it's more dangerous than Hawaii.
Greg,
and I live there, and I'm like, go ahead, Ben.
Well, Greg, thanks for your call. We've got to take a break. Keith, your response, because I echo what Greg said. I mean, folks, the perception is that Mexico is just rife with violence. You'd still encourage folks to go down there
My perception is as follows. People are people. Everybody in the state of Sonora, everybody in the other 31 states get up in the morning and want to do something productive during the day. do something safe in there. And on top of that, I would offer that almost no innocent people are caught in crossfires. We don't know yet about what happened in Bavispe with the Lebaron family. Right now, that's kind of iffy. They may have been. We don't know. But insofar as anything else, I would challenge anyone who's listening to call and say, hey, I know of somebody who was innocent and caught in a crossfire in such and such a place in such and such a time. It doesn't happen. That's the last thing that, if you're in the cartel, if you're in the business of smuggling humans or smuggling drugs, the last thing you want is to bring attention to yourself by having collateral damage done to innocents.
Keith Rosenblum, the Buckmaster Mexico correspondent, contributor, thank you so much. I wish you and your family a safe holiday. It sounds like you've got a budding correspondent there in the background there.
Yeah, so I meant to have him gagged prior to the call, but he escaped the... He escaped my cloth there. So,
well, Keith, thank you so much for your time today on the Bill Buckmaster Show. This is Ben Bueller Garcia sitting in for Bill in the Green Things Socolo Village Studios. We'll be back with Tucson historian Ken Scoville after these messages, talking a little more about the holidays and how things have changed and maybe how they haven't. Stick around.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
A Citizens Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is preparing to develop the next RTA plan. That's why members want your input on a survey of draft guiding principles they prepared. The principles will help guide them as they develop the next 20-year plan, which would be funded by a voter-required extension of the RTA's half-cent excise or sales tax. To take the survey or sign up to receive RTA notices, please visit www.rtamobility.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back to the Bill Buckmaster Show, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ben Bueller Garcia sitting in for Bill here in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. So much to do in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, like exploring their historic downtown Silver City or visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. For a complete listing of the many things to do and great places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. If you'd like to contribute,
Give us a call, 790-2040, here at 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Speaking of contributors, Ken, you've been a regular historical contributor to the Bill Buckmaster Show, and it's an appropriate time to have you in here to talk about Christmas. So sure. Welcome back.
Well, nice to meet you, Ben.
And well, we've crossed paths before. I think on the Fox Project, we...
That's right. Yeah. Oh, I've been involved with downtown since 1985, so I've seen a lot.
Sure. A lot of changes. Now, Ken, when you came into the studio, I know it's radio, so people can't see this, but you showed me just a wonderful photograph that was taken the day after Thanksgiving at Congress and Stone, 1955. And I mean, the traffic, the bodies, that everything's glittering. It's just a wonderful, wonderful photograph.
Right. And that's just one of those epic moments that we're going to talk a little bit about today, of the changes about shopping, locations, technology, how many things have changed the way we shop. That shows really the height of downtown shopping when downtown was the place.
Looking at this photo and just my experience also in downtown, back when you had actual stores, Zeckendorf or Seinfeld's, or the nature of our shopping as a country has changed, the Amazon effect, if you will.
Right. And so I sort of to trace those changes in Tucson, in a way, is a microcosm of what's gone on in the United States. Prior to the railroad in 1880, if you wanted to bring goods in to sell people, you brought them in by wagon. And you had distance issues, you had Apache Indian issues, and the connections a lot of times would be from California up the Gulf of California to Yuma. And then most people don't realize we used to have steamboats on Yuma that would go north, right, to deliver supplies. But then it would be wagons bringing across the United States. Zeckendorf's was one of the very early merchants that got established early on, and was there from, I think, 1869 to about the turn of the century. Zeckendorf had a person by the name of Albert Steinfeld come to work with him. That was an uncle. 30 years later, he would buy out Zeckendorf's and put his own name on the business.
Yeah, something else that has changed, this time of year, kind of like mushrooms on every corner, the Christmas tree lots pop up. Back in the early days, that wasn't an option. You had to go up the mountain, right?
Right, and the Santa Ritas were considered the closer location. The Catalinas were just too far away. This is where in 1870s, when people were still building buildings out of adobe and having round log beams called vigas for their support members, the Santa Ritas is where you got that timber and then brought it back into town. Same thing if you had a real adventuresome father that wanted to have a Christmas tree, he would go up and cut the tree and have to bring it back to Tucson.
Ah, the good old days. And I find that as a crow flies, the Catalinas are closer to Tucson at that time, right? Well, there, or is it, you're talking elevation, harder to get into?
Well, but also there was more access. There were more pathways going south into Mexico than we really had into the Catalinas. There were a few ranches early times, but
one thing that completely changed the face of Tucson and the way we live and grow, like many Western cities, Ken, was the Second World War. And all those veterans who maybe came through here training and then decided to come back and retire and start their families here. Did you see that as a real, is that a real touchstone moment on how things have changed?
Well, it's sort of the line of demarcation where we would see the automobile become dominant. Prior to that, with the railroad arriving in 1880, and I want to go back to the railroad, because that's also a technological change. Now, merchants used to have, prior to the railroad, have to store all their supplies and bring them in at a very high cost level. New group of merchants come in on the railroad. Now we can bring things in every 4 or 5 days. We can bring up much more perishables. And also, from a Christmas perspective, now we would have Christmas trees available. And the merchants would use these as promotion devices, and then eventually more people would buy this. So this goes up to about the 1930s. The railroad is still dominant for supplies. Now, as people are coming back to Tucson to remember the wonderful weather, now you're going to see the car become dominant, strip malls, malls and shopping centers. Now downtown would collapse and everybody's mall would become their new downtown.
Right, right. I tell you, one thing that some listeners out there, Ken, you're not as old as I am, but maybe there's some listeners out there to the Buckmaster Show that are long in the tooth like me. The first trumpet I got was purchased with S&H green stamps. In the olden days, I use the quotation fingers, the catalogs, the Sears and Roebuck, the Montgomery Wards, the J.C. Penney's. That was something we don't see.
Right, and that came out on the train, incidentally. S&H Green Stamps was a grocery store promotion to try and bring stores in, and then they worked out a deal with the stamp company.
But would you say that internet shopping is the modern equivalent of, of the old Sears and Roebuck catalog shopping? Or
I would actually think, I look at it a little bit more as a technology change. The railroad changed the way we shop and the whole configuration. The automobile changed the whole way we shop and configuration. Now the internet and online shopping is that third major change of configuration. And we all know that Sears, who's essentially almost bankrupt, if they had it all, but they didn't have the vision to convert to technology when they could have.
Yeah, I think folks would find it interesting. You could actually buy a kit to build a home.
Yes, 1890s, they would ship it on the railroad, and there are one or two in Armory Park that were actually frame constructed from kits.
Wow, and they're still standing.
I think there's two still down Armory Park.
What about the celebrations themselves? I'm guessing 100 years ago, even 50 years ago, the way people came together and celebrated the holidays, much has changed, much has not. I mean, we still have trees and eggnog.
Right, but Tucson was a smaller town, a more tight-knit community. If you realize Tucson in 1870 was 3,000 people. So everybody knew everybody. And one of the things from the territorial period that everybody wanted to make sure that everyone had a good meal. So you saw a lot of turkeys and other things donated, and we were gambling-dominated, saloon-dominated in the 1870s especially. All the gamblers would throw coins from the wagons to the kids around Christmas time so they could do a little shopping too. So a much more a close-knit community, but we all know to live in Tucson. It is still a small town, even with all the people we have.
It is the world's largest small town. Ken, one of the things that near and dear to my heart, and both of our hearts, I suppose, is the Fox Theater. Spent a lot of time in my life working to renovate and reopen that gem of downtown. What about, hubs of activity like the Fox and the other theaters downtown?
Sure, and in fact, it's an interesting, really, there was a merchant battle between West and East Congress, West being the older side, and everything moved east with the railroad. And then the Rialto Theater, which is now celebrating its centennial, that drew everybody. And the West Congress is staying at the turn of the century, 1910. We're dying. So they eliminate the wedge and get rid of the red light district. They open it up. But then they say, we're going to get the shoppers back. We're going to build the Fox Theater. So the grandest theater we'd have in all of Tucson would be built in 1930 at the Fox site. So that brought the merchants back and made an equal footing with East Congress. So that's where those theaters, and I always laugh at students today, let's go to the mall, and then a neat idea, they have theaters that we can go shopping with. Nothing's new under the sun. So this idea of theaters, and especially the Fox Theater, would really bring the shoppers back.
You know, what I miss, Ken, is the creativity. When you look at some of the things that Roy Drachman and some of these other promoters did downtown during, not just during Christmas, but all year round, just amazing.
Beauty pageants, dishes, everything. Yeah, I think that, and again, we could go back to the internet. That it just doesn't have that same magic appeal to it to win things that you can click it, tap, and get something. It's a different world today.
What would you like to see if you could, had a magic wand and you could bring back one of the old holiday traditions from, say, 100 years ago, Ken? Well, what would it be?
I guess of all the things that have changed and been demolished in downtown, I wish I could go in and have something to eat and look at the Christmas tree at the Santa Rita Hotel. If there was any one building that I can bring back, in fact, I was writing an article about it for another thing, the one thing I'd bring back is that Santa Rita Hotel. If you've ever been to New York City and the Plaza Hotel right next door to Central Park, the Santa Rita was our Plaza Hotel.
I tell you, I would like to see the original old City Hall back in place, but that when you look at the images of that building.
Now, which City Hall? The 1917 one?
No, the one prior to that. Right? Yeah, okay. Just amazing stuff. Ken, thank you so much for joining us here on the Buckmaster Show today and giving us a little bit of perspective on how things have changed and how things haven't. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been your guest host, Ben Buehler Garcia, sitting in for Bill Buckmaster Show. Podcasts of this and other broadcasts can be found at buckmastershow.com. Don't forget to visit our wonderful advertisers. They are so important and just some great opportunities for you and your family during the holiday season, from poinsettias to Danish Kringles. You can find them all here in Tucson. Thanks for joining us, friends. Take care.